This is Northwest News on KPLU. Not so long ago, before there were self-driving cars and microprocessors or even abundant electricity, the state-of-the-art technology was clockwork. Through cams and springs and gears, craftsmen were able to create precise tools, rudimentary robots, and exquisite pieces of art. Brittany Nicole Cox is one of a handful of antiquarian horologists trained to preserve and restore those objects, like the 18th century French music box you're hearing right now. KPLU's Gabriel Spitzer visited her Seattle workshop for our weekend show, Sound Effect. There, Cox showed him her specialty within a specialty, a Victorian-era automaton.
Basically, it's a mechanical bird that is powered by a spring. It has a train and some very particular shaped cams that dictate the motions of the bird. It has bellows for its lungs and a slide whistle that is its voice.
How did you get into this?
When I was a child, I envisioned things like this, but didn't know that these were actual things that existed.
Wait, things like what?
Like automata. I loved music boxes and watches when I was small, and I thought when I got older, it would be amazing to make things or see things that were mechanical like that, but were like animals, because my other favorite thing was animals when I was a kid, and still, that's still true, which is why I love these so much. I was a jeweler for many years and did studies in philosophy, and I leaned towards metaphysics and epistemology, which is a theory of knowledge and possibility.
How did a philosophy degree lead you into singing birds and repeating watches and things like that?
Because it was specifically that I was really interested in this Renaissance period when people were basically trying to simulate what God can do, you know, how to make life. My favorite object of all time is the silver swan. And that's a magnificent sterling silver swan that has three clock mechanisms inside and a carillon of bells. And the swan is absolutely lifelike. It sits on a bed of twisted glass rods that contra-rotate so they look like water. And then there are these little gold and silver fish that swim up and down. And the swan is preening its feathers. It turns around and its neck goes down and looks around and actually spies a fish, and then little fish pops out and it eats it, gobbles it up. There's nothing like it. That's the only one that anyone has ever seen.
Wow.
That to me was everything I could have ever hoped for. And so I had no choice from there. I had to move forward with pursuing working with and being with these incredible objects.
So when it all clicks, literally, how does that feel?
When it starts working for the first time, that's the best feeling I think anybody could ever experience. It's like knowing that something has sat silent for, you know, 50 years or even longer maybe, and then to have the privilege of hearing it sing once again, I mean, for you, is just, it's phenomenal.
How does that thing work?
So, it's got a spring. You wind up the spring, which is located inside of a barrel, and that's basically a large gear. There's a gear situated on the bottom of the barrel, and it also carries the cams, which dictate the motion of the bird as well as the whistle, the way that the whistle is going to be articulated. It's all operated via that spring that's located in the barrel.
Is part of all of this about keeping something from being lost?
Absolutely. It's a way of keeping this alive and preserving that for future generations so that they can understand and see that there was this magic, you know, that existed, that was tangible and physical and very real.
You've used the word magic a bunch of times, and that's something that you are kind of into, right?
Oh, absolutely. I love magic. Magic is the best. It's wonderful to be fooled. You know, if I had one thing to ask for when I die, I want to be delighted by a magician. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's just so wonderful.
And so you love to be fooled. Why?
The world has got so many wonderful, but also so many sad things. And for me, I'm definitely someone who takes all that very seriously. And there's nothing better than to just feel like everything is wonderful. Just for a few seconds, a few minutes, whatever. It's great.
And is it the same feeling you get when all the gears and catches drop into place and something works?
When you see it work for the first time, yeah, absolutely. It's the exact same feeling.
as you're trying to preserve, you're trying to stop the clock in some weird way, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Stop the clock or, you know, manage time. But I think that's the wonderful and horrible thing about it. Everything passes with time. So,
is there something existential about that for you?
Absolutely. You know, if you want to talk about existential crisis, sometimes for someone like me, I honestly really hate thinking about death and dying. So to be in a business where that's my trade is, you know, dealing with things where I know time is passing by and even preserving things that will live on. You know, for example, I worked on a singing bird that was a scarlet tanager. It was literally a scarlet tanager bird that had been taxidermied and its insides were replaced with clockwork. So, you know, it was a singing bird and alive in some way, but it's interesting to think that that bird outlived all its counterparts.
So as somebody who's carrying on a tradition and preserving these antique objects and technologies for people in the future to, what, appreciate, care about, experience, like, what do you want them to take away from them?
There's so much magic, and I hope that people will learn how things work, how gear loops work, how pendulums work, how springs work.
But wait, why? Like, is that stuff still relevant?
Absolutely. Absolutely relevant. You know, you can't just move towards the future without learning anything from your past. Otherwise, you'll continue to make the same mistakes. You know, horology is responsible for longitude. We were able to calculate longitude at sea because of a horologist who invented a timepiece that was seaworthy, the first chronometer, basically. Thank you for sending the rocket to the moon, horology, because that mechanism was invented by Charles Sauter, who worked for the Bulova Watchmaking Company. So thank you, Charles Sauter, for that. There are so many things that we have horology to be, you know, to thank horology for.
Including that singing bird.
It's true. Including all things that are magic like that.
Well, Brittany Nicole Cox is an antiquarian horologist. She's got a blog and a website that we will link to from our site, kplusoundeffect.org. You can also go there to find all kinds of amazing photographs of the objects that she works on and the tools she uses to work on them. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.